It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
And welcome in to the Sports Spotlight here on this December 9 edition. I'm your host, Jackson White, alongside Kevin Gleva and special guest Owen Pulley joining us for this first segment. And we have a good show coming your way on this December 9th edition. Christmas is only 16 days away, so I think that's kind of cool.
Woo!
Ooh,
what I'm hearing is the Colts-Cardinals game is 16 days away.
Okay, well, are you going to pick the Texans to win that one, buddy?
No.
But we have a good show coming your way. NFL Week 14 is getting underway tonight as Thursday Night Football kicks off. The Colts are currently on a bye, so they will not play this week, but we'll talk a little bit about them as well. The Pacers got a win over the Knicks in blowout fashion after announcing that they're going to go into a rebuild and then possible Pacers moves. Indiana Hoosiers basketball blew a 22-point lead last night and lost their second game of the season. Purdue 8-0 now, number one team ranked in the country. And then we'll lead off with the corner flag with our very own Christian Hernandez. But getting in right into it, NFL Week 14, the Indianapolis Colts start off on a bye. The Colts now 7-6, and even though the Colts are not playing this week, lots of playoff implications going in to this one. I mean, there's a lot of games you look at that can apply to the Colts going to make the playoffs. You have the Ravens taking on the Browns. You want the Ravens to win that ball game. You have the Chiefs versus the Raiders. You're going to want the Chiefs to win that one as well. And then there's some kind of there's some slide games as well. Chargers, Giants. You want the Giants to win. Will that happen? I don't know. Owen, I bet it's real funny, isn't it? And then Broncos, Lions. You're going to want the Lions to win their second consecutive game if you want the Colts to make the playoffs. Buccaneers versus the Bills. You're going to want Tom Brady to win that one. And that's really it. I mean, you just want all the teams in the wild card spot to lose. You want the Bengals to lose to the Niners. But, I mean, there's lots of games that the Colts are going to be watching out for, but I think this is a big week for them to rest up and get ready as they take on a tough test New England Patriots team on some Saturday night football. Not Sunday night, Saturday night football, the 18th of December in 9 days. So the Colts, they have lots to live for. But now we'll get into Week 14 of the NFL starting tonight. A Vikings-Steelers game. The Steelers got a big win last week over the Ravens, and the Steelers, even though they looked kind of dead in the water at some point, still in that playoff chase, they're taking on a Vikings team that lost to the Lions in their last outing. So, I mean, this is a good game, and, I mean, if you're a Colts fan, you want the Vikings to win, but it looks like they're going to kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, all this year, or at least early in the year, I kind of thought the Vikings were going to be the sleeper for the playoffs. I mean, that's who I was choosing as kind of a team not a lot of people were talking about. But at this point, I mean, the record's not looking good for them. And like Jackson said, they just lost to the Lions. So they were kind of not in a great spot. Dalvin Cook potentially playing tonight. He may be on limited carries. They're not 100% sure on his status yet. But, I mean, just for the Colts, hopefully the Steelers will lose. I mean, after what seems to have been such a bad season for them, they're somehow still, I mean, potentially in that playoff race with 6 wins. So, I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, a lot of the teams in the AFC, unless you're like the Texans, the Jaguars, and some other teams that are kind of struggling, you really have an open shot at the playoffs. I mean, the Broncos are 6-6 right now, and they are in fourth place in their division, and they still have a chance to make the playoffs. So basically, really any team has a shot. So the Colts need everything they can get to make the playoffs as a wild card team.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the division's out of reach with Tennessee now having 8 wins. So, I mean, even though they're only 2 games back, it looks like that division championship is out of the window. So the wild card is the ultimate spot. And, I mean, you want every wild card team to lose, and the Steelers are one of those. The Vikings, they're trying to fight to get into the playoffs as a wild card as well. That kind of 7th spot now And the NFC is wide open. I mean, if you look at it, there's lots of teams fighting for it. And currently right now the 49ers 7-5. And then you have teams like the Eagles 6-7 trying to fight for it. The Vikings 5-7. The Panthers 5-7. The Falcons 5-7. I mean, all those teams could slip in there. The football team 6-6, and they're the sixth seed. So it's just kind of interesting. I mean, the NFC is such an easier. Then you go 5 and you got 8-4 Rams. So you got five really good teams in the NFC, and then you have just the bottom drillers all having a chance. And then AFC is completely different. I mean, you could go all the way down to 13, and they all have a chance to make the playoffs. And that's just crazy to think about, but it's just what's going on in our current state of football. But there's some good Sunday games as well. The Saints trying to make the playoffs without Drew Brees for the first time. Taysom Hill's going to be starting his second game at quarterback, taking on the Jets, who are not good. Panthers Falcons, a possible game there to watch out for, as Cam Newton looking to have revenge after possibly looking like the worst quarterback I've ever seen in his last outing.
I mean,
a 5 quarterback rating. The Texans play the Seahawks. Okay.
Let's go,
Texans.
Yeah.
In fantasy, I picked up the Seahawks defense. They're ranked 26th in, like, the league. But in fantasy-wise, they're playing the Texans, who probably have the worst offense in the league. So I thought I could maybe get lucky there. It's a playoff game now in fantasy, so make sure to set your lineups before tonight. Seahawks, I've already said that. Raiders versus Chiefs, kind of a team that the Chiefs have really advanced as one of the top contenders after starting off slow at a 3-4 record. The Raiders now have slowed down to an almost stopping point now, 6-6. They beat the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago, and then they just kind of disappear in all reality. They're just going to do the same thing they've done the last 5 years. And then you got another division rival team that we just mentioned, the Browns versus the Ravens. And the Browns, I mean, their offense has probably been the worst I've seen in recent memory. The Ravens, their offense does not look good either. Lamar Jackson not looking as elite as he used to, at least of late. And the Browns, I mean, their offense cannot get nothing to go, and the whole team's injured. Going now to the Cowboys versus football team. Football team has been on a winning streak of late. The Cowboys have kind of slid down on a 2-game losing streak. So it's going to be a good one to watch out for. The football team did end up beating Dallas to make the playoffs last year, so that's going to be something to watch out for, but I will take Dallas in that one. And then you have Titans versus Jaguars. That should be the Titans there. Chargers versus the Giants. Jake Fromm possibly going to start for the Giants, as Mike Glennon, the MVP, not going to play in this one, most likely with a concussion. The Chargers got a big win last week over the Bengals, look to advance to 8-5. Lions versus the Broncos. Somehow the Lions could still make the playoffs. It's just every team would have to lose out. That would be something if they did. I don't think they will. If they lose this game, they will be eliminated. The Broncos trying to make wild card hopes come alive. They're 6-6 on the season. Niners take on the 49ers. No, that doesn't make sense. The 49ers take on the Bengals in this one, and both teams fighting for wild card spots in their current conferences, as the Niners are now the 7th seed and the Bengals now the 6th seed in the AFC. So two teams fighting for playoff hopefuls in that one. The Buccaneers versus the Bills. The Bills now losing multiple games straight. They've lost 3 of their last 4. They're now 7-5. The Buccaneers 9-3, the 3rd best record in the NFL. So the Buccaneers looking to improve to 10-3 on the season. The Bills trying to keep their playoff hopes alive with a win versus Tom Brady. Sunday Night Football, Bears-Packers. I don't know why this is on Sunday Night Football. Somehow the Bears have 4 wins. Excuse me, I did not think they had that many. But this should be a blowout there. Packers should handle the Bears. Easy, Justin Fields will start, but he has looked. I think he's thrown 4 touchdowns to 10 interceptions this season. Oh, my. Monday Night Football, really probably the game of the week, I would have to say. Monday night gets the Rams versus the Cardinals. The Cardinals, the top team in the NFL at a 10-2 clip. And then the Rams have fell down a little bit as of late. Now 8-4, started the season 8-2. So, I mean, the Rams still a talented team. Von Miller, they have not got a win since Von Miller joined the team. Same with Odell Beckham Jr. So the Rams falling down of late, but look to get back on track versus the top-ranked Cardinals. A division game there. So that's going to wrap up our Week 14 wrap-up. Lots of good games to watch out for. I know this was kind of my own segment here. I have other people in the show as well. But we were just trying to get through stuff as the Colts do not play this week. But lots to talk about in the NBA and college basketball. So stay tuned on the Sports Spotlight, and we'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Barack. Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours. The vaccine is safe, it's effective, it's free. I got one, Michelle got one, people you know got one, and now you can get one too. It's the only way we're going to get back to all the things we love, from safely spending time with grandparents to going to concerts and watching live sports. So get the vaccine as soon as you can.
Visit rshot.in.gov.
Okay, kids, Dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here. I'm your host, Jackson White, alongside Kevin Gleva and special guest Owen Pulley. And the Indiana Pacers got a win last night to improve to 11-16. The Pacers come out yesterday, or third Tuesday, I should say, and just say they're going to rebuild, and then they go and beat a 500 Knicks team 122-102. And, the Pacers, they played really good. Chris Duarte, 23 points. Domantas Sabonis, 21 points, 11 rebounds. Miles Turner, 22 points, 5 blocks. Malcolm Brogdon, 16. Caris LeVert, 15. And Caleb Burton had 8. And Goga Batadze also scored. He had 2. But but the Pacers, they looked good in this game. I'll be completely honest. I watched this game over the IU game. It was probably a grand mistake, even though IU blew a 22-point lead. We'll get to that in a minute. But I did watch this game because I just wanted to see how they play after all that news came out, and they played good. I think this was their most complete game. And, Kevin, what do you think the expectations are for this team? Because they have talent. I'm not saying they don't. In all reality, if they got hot at the right time, they could make the playoffs easily. They have the roster to make the playoffs. It's not working at it to a current extent. So what do you think the current plans are for the Pacers?
You're right. If they got hot, win some games, they definitely could make the playoffs. It's still so early in the season. They have plenty of time to catch up, get back into the race. But, for the roster, it's hard to say the expectations because, people at this point, players know that, they could get on their phone at some point or get a phone call and learn that they're being traded somewhere. So, it's hard. But I was talking about this game, and one of the things is, these players are now kind of playing for a job almost, because either they got to play good enough to the point where the franchise thinks they can keep them and they'll help them win games, or they got to play well enough so other teams around the league actually want them to come play for them, or at least good enough to try and get a spot on a contending team. But the roster, I don't know, it's just so hard to say knowing that these players can know, but maybe something like this could almost be like a wake-up call for them. Maybe they'll kind of start trying to figure things out. Maybe they will be figuring things out from here on out and kind of crawling back at least towards 500 with their record.
Yeah, I think that it's being a Pacers fan just watching it, it's kind of been like this endless cycle where you just finish 4 or 5 and lose in the first round, and then you're not good enough to have a good first pick or do any damage in the playoffs, but you're not bad enough to get a good pick. So it's kind of just this endless cycle ever since Paul George kind of left, and that team kind of fizzled out with age just coming along. But the Pacers are talking, thinking about trading LeVert, Turner, or Sabonis, kind of building around the young core of Malcolm Brogdon, kind of in that area, and Chris Duarte, the new rookie. But I think that good things can come out of this. Well, it would kind of suck to watch Sabonis and Turner leave, who have been key pieces of this Pacers team for years. But I think that it would just be good in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things about, like, building around the younger core, of course, Chris Duarte, I mean, a lot of promise in him. He's already been playing really well as a rookie. And, of course, Brogdon just got that contract extension, so he's kind of locked in with the Pacers right now. But for the rest of the roster, I mean, if the Pacers are willing to trade, like, LeVert or Sabonis or Turner, I mean, that means they're probably willing to trade just about anyone on the roster. So, I mean, no one's really safe at this point.
Right. But I think also, too, they're trying to get bigs, but I think that Miles Turner is your safest bet to keep. So I think that if anybody's going to go, well, it pains me to say this, as he is my favorite player, Domantas Sabonis, going to be possibly shipped off, most likely shipped off. And Caris LeVert, kind of not really a Pacer for a long time, only about a season and a half. But, you know, it's just not good things to see.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like the talk is who's more valuable, Sabonis or Turner. I mean, Turner's just that defensive anchor. And a lot of people say he actually has high value and like that he could go to a contending team and just be the anchor for a team. Because, I mean, how often do you get someone who leads the leads in blocks but can still open or still knock down an open shot on the perimeter?
Right.
And then Sabonis, I mean, of course, he's an incredible rebounder. He can give you 20 a night. But on the defensive end, he's just not the best, kind of a liability at some points. So, I mean, I think teams will be going after Turner for sure.
I think that the biggest problem with the Pacers right now, I believe, is that Sabonis and Turner are great players, like you said. They're great players on their own, but I just don't think they work together. Because you have a good player like Turner who can work the inside offensively and defensively on working in the post.
He cannot work in the post.
Yeah, Sabonis is more of a... I think Sabonis.
I mean,
he
can work. I meant not on the post, in the paint. I feel like
Miles Turner is probably one of the worst players in the league when it comes to being on the block. I'll be completely honest. I mean, he's not, but he is. I wouldn't put him on the block to win the game.
Right. I put Sabonis, but I'm saying
he's just a shooter.
For being,
he's better defensively than Sabonis, like you said. It's just
100%.
They don't. I just don't think they work together because you have complete opposite ends of the floor. Two bigs.
Whenever you live in this day and age. Let's say Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis like to team up in the early 2000s. Pacers probably going to win a championship. I'll be completely honest. Let's say you put in Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis on that 2003 Pacers team. They'd probably win. They would. They were going to anyway before some person decided to go up in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
But put them on that team. 2 7-footers. Ooh, that'd be deadly.
Especially with the inside game that was
center,
so big.
A center that can shoot. Ooh, that'd be deadly. But we're in 2021, and there's centers now who are 6'9". You cannot in this day and age of the NFL, not the NFL, NBA, have two centers starting at the same time. You just can't. I mean, you could, but it's kind of hard, and you kind of can't. And I think that's, I mean, it never was meant to work. I think it worked better whenever they Sabonis came off the bench, and they would, like, swap. And I kind of wish they would do that. I mean, they help each other at the same time, but it just won't work to win a championship because the small teams are just so much faster than you offensively and defensively. I know Miles is such a good shot blocker, but Sabonis can't really guard the perimeter, and Miles can't really either. So I kind of like a lineup whenever Brissett slides in at the four, O'Shea, and either Miles or Sabonis. Slides in at the five, but the ultimate thing is Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis are such different players and aspects. I mean, both of them don't do anything the same.
Right.
You look at Miles Turner, he's a guy who can shoot threes and block shots. Domantas Sabonis cannot block shots at an elite level. He's decent. He cannot shoot threes at a good level that you want him to. He can hit a three, and I mean, he has a good 3-point shot, but he's not a guy who you're going to want to shoot consistent threes.
I think he's about, what, mid-20s from three?
He's about 31%.
31, okay.
So, and then you have you have Domantas Sabonis, the guy
I meant Sabonis shooting, not really from three. Like, I thought you were talking about Sabonis. I'm sorry. That's the wrong person.
Miles Turner is shooting like 40% from three.
Yeah, yeah.
But Domantas Sabonis is a guy who can work on the block extremely well. He's a great passer. He's kind of like a Nikola Jokic type player, except a little bit worse when it comes to shot creation. Domantas Sabonis is a great leader. Miles Turner is a great leader. It's just, I wish they would combine into one player, because that player would be really good, but they can't. Everyone thought Goga Batadze would be that. He's not. He's a bum. But that's besides the point. He doesn't play. Isaiah Jackson should play over him. Goga Batadze needs to. Yeah, but LeBeyond, him and TJ Leaf can go play somewhere. But it sucks to see. Last night they did play really good. I think they played their roles. I think it could work with the right point guard, but they don't have a point guard who is a point-first guard. They have Malcolm Brogdon, who is a point guard and a shooting guard's body, kind of like the George Hill situation the Pacers got in a couple years ago in the early 2010s. George Hill was not a point guard. He was a shooting guard and a point guard's body. And that's the ultimate problem. They didn't have a pass-first point guard. T.J. McConnell's that, but he can't shoot it. You have to have your point guard be a threat from three. I mean, McConnell's not an offensive threat really at all, to be completely honest. He's a great defender, and he's smaller. You could put T.J. McConnell and Malcolm Brogdon together, that'd be a great point guard right there. But they're not. And that's their problem. They don't have a point guard who is a fast-first point guard who can be an offensive threat. And they're slow defensively at times. Their defense is way better than what it was under the last coach last season. But it was never going to work. And maybe it does one day. Let's say T.J. Warren comes back and they have a closer. Because in all reality, they've needed a closer the whole time. They haven't had a closer. T.J. Warren could be that guy. I think Chris Duarte could step in that spot. They have not won a game. They have not won it at a consistent clip since Victor Oladipo. And I don't think Victor Oladipo, I think the trade was good that we got for Caris LeVert. But Victor Oladipo had ice in his veins. He was a closer. And they don't have a closer right now. And like you see in that Lakers game, even though Duarte got fouled, should have won it. They kind of didn't know anyone to go to. They've been in lots of close games. They've went to overtime over 7 times this year. They barely won any. I mean, they need a guy who to close, and they don't have that. And I don't know if anyone on the roster is a closer. I think T.J. Warren's probably the closest thing to it, who is a possible closer besides Chris Duarte. Caris LeVert is not the shooter I thought he used to be. Well, I thought he was. He's not a shooter at all. He's shooting pitiful from three. I mean, it's kind of something. I mean, this team could work under they're just in the wrong era, I think, as a team. And we'll see. We'll see what they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they all get moved, but this is a team owned by a Herb Sampson, and he's cheap, extremely. So I wouldn't be surprised if none of them get moved, to be all real with you, until the offseason. They might write it out. I don't know. In all reality, they put that stuff out there to have teams offer. But the Pacers aren't going to make a move until they feel like they can improve from it. And if there's not a trade out there that they feel they know they're winning, I doubt they do it. Because this Pacers team doesn't really take chances. And that's their problem. They never take chances on draft picks. They always draft off. I mean, it depends. They sometimes draft too much off potential, and they sometimes don't take enough chances. And that's kind of what hurts them. So I feel like if they're going to make a move, it's going to be on paper, they win. But I don't know. I mean, I think a shakeup in the front office needs to be changed this offseason, in all reality. I think it's needed. I think kind of there's too much still there from Bird. And Larry Bird did do a good job, but I think they need a clean sweep, kind of like they did with the coaching staff. And the ultimate question is, like Greg Rakestraw said on the last Sports Spotlight, does Rick Carlisle want to be involved in the rebuild?
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of the things, like, as almost a Pacers fan going into a rebuild, it's almost a little bit worrisome because, like, we saw a team like the Phoenix Suns. I mean, there was, like, 10 straight years they missed the playoffs, but now they're really good. So, I mean, no way would Rick Carlisle want to stick around for something that long. I mean, I think, of course, he's kind of getting older. So would he want to, like, stick around for years to be able to finish it? I don't know. It's just how long would the rebuild take to finally get into a good place where the Pacers would be winning again?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question. But we're going to have to find out. But, hey, they did win against the Knicks. They're now 11-16. Oh, that's about it for them. But that's really the ultimate question. They play the Mavericks tomorrow at their stadium, so we'll see.
Yes. So, I mean, potentially, hopefully we can see this group kind of continue to gel together and play well like we saw them against the Knicks last night. But, I mean, it's kind of what we've seen from this team this season. They may win one or two, and then they lose, you know, three straight. So hopefully they're kind of maybe figuring something out and maybe going to get a little momentum rolling now.
Yeah, now switching topics now to Indiana Hoosiers basketball. They lost 64-59 over the Wisconsin team last night. Wisconsin now ranked number 22. IU not yet ranked. I do believe they will end the season ranked. I think they're a good team. At one point, they had a 22-point lead and then outscored in the second half, 39-17. A terrible loss for the Hoosiers. They're now 7-2. And we're just going to cover this small. If you want to listen to more Indiana Hoosiers talk, make sure to tune in this Thursday as the one and only Zion Brown will be joining us, who is currently attending Indiana University. And you can follow him over there on Twitter. And he does breakdowns of almost every single game. So he's going to be joining us around 1:40 next Thursday. So make sure to tune into that one. And we'll talk everything IU basketball that you need to know that Thursday. And Zion Brown will be giving his input on the Hoosiers. But that's next Thursday. Today is now. And, I mean, the Hoosiers blew a 22-point lead. This team has talent. I think they're going to be a team that could make a run in the tournament, Kevin. But they just have to continue to grow as a team.
Yeah, I mean, so far this season, both losses, I mean, they've been by quality opponents, Syracuse, of course, in triple overtime, and then Wisconsin, a top 25 team in the nation, and both games were close all the way, or not all the way through, but at least in the end, they ended up being close. So we've seen they can compete with these higher-level teams. I mean, they got solid players, and of course, kind of Trayce Jackson-Davis, kind of the big name on the roster. I mean, he's one of the top players in the nation, probably, at least for his position, definitely kind of the power forward center position. So, I mean, I think if they just continue to play well this season and just keep figuring things out, I mean, they could definitely make a little bit of noise this year.
Yeah, I mean, we can see now going to a team that hates IU, number one team ranked in the country for the first time ever. Give it up for the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah.
So Purdue is now number one ranked team in the country for a reason. They're now 8-0 on the season, and people are like, well, they haven't played any good teams. They played UNC. They beat them by about 9. They beat a number 6 ranked Villanova, and they beat Iowa last Friday, so on the 3rd. So on this Purdue team, they're 8-0 for a reason. They're number one ranked. They have talent. Everyone returned from last season. And they kind of get a little bit of an easy stretch. I mean, all these teams are good, but they don't play a good game until the 3rd in Wisconsin. But, they do play some talented teams. I mean, tonight they play Rutgers. They play NC State on the 12th of December. They play Butler. That's always a tough game at Butler. And then they play Nicholls State, and that's nothing big. So.
I mean Nicholls State, who, like, It's Nicholls State.
So, yeah. I mean, they've played some. They've played Omaha. I mean, they've played some good teams and they played some bad ones. But I think they're deserving of the number one in the country. And the real question is: Purdue yet to ever win a national championship. Do you think this could be the year for the Boilermakers?
I mean, so far they've looked solid. They, you know, people always say in college basketball, guards win basketball games, and of course they have a lot of solid guards, of course, and kind of their big name Jaden Ivey, who's just a sophomore, but I think he's an NBA talent on a college court.
The Pacers, just to be honest.
it'd be fun. But I mean, they're built really good just for college, just because they have two good big men in Zach Edey and Travion Williams. And so it's kind of either, do you want to try and stop the big men down low, or do you want to kind of take away the shooters? So it's still early in the season, and the tournament is not until March. But if Purdue kind of keeps playing like they are, and once they start playing kind of higher ranked competition again, if they can keep winning those sort of games, I mean, it could look pretty good for them going into the tournament.
Yeah, so to round out the rest of their year, they play a 22 ranked Wisconsin on January 3rd. They play Michigan on the 11th of January. They play Nebraska on the 14th. Illinois on the 17th. They do play Indiana on January 20th at Indiana. That's going to be a tough one there. They play Iowa again. They play Ohio State on the 30th. They play Michigan again on the 5th. I mean, they have some tough teams remaining on their schedule. And then at the end of the year, they end up with a Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Indiana matchup. So, I mean, end of the year might be a little tough for the Boilermakers. And then, obviously, they have to play in the Big Ten tournament. So, it's going to be interesting. But I think this team definitely has talent to be a team that we can see in the Final Elite Eight, Final Four. And same with IU. I think IU has a good team this year as well. I think head coach Mike Woodson's doing his thing over there in Hoosier land. So, that's going to wrap up this segment, but we have two good college basketball teams, and it's good to see both our programs really just excelling. I mean, Purdue's 8-0, IU 7-2. So, got lots of good stuff coming up for both of those programs. But that's going to wrap up this segment. We're going to go to a quick break and come back with the corner flag with our very own Christian Hernandez. We'll be right back.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. Here I'm your host, Jackson White. And now joining the show is the man of the hour. The voice of your soccer for here on the Sports Spotlight. And now welcome into the Sports Spotlight, Christian Hernandez.
Thank you, Jackson. Welcome to the Corner Flag, the show where I talk about the most recent soccer news and stuff like that. Today we're talking about the Champions League as qualifiers have most part finished up. And yeah, let's get into it. So the group stage of the Champions League has concluded aside from the match between Villarreal and Atlanta, which is going on right now as I speak, as it was postponed yesterday. The heavy snowfall. That match is crucial for two of those teams because the winner of that match will progress to the knockout stage alongside with the following teams: Ajax, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Paris Saint-Germain, Sporting Lisbon, Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, Benfica, Lille, Salzburg, which is the first team from Austria to qualify for a knockout stage. So congrats to Salzburg, and Juventus. So with that, those are all the teams that have qualified for the knockout stage, and we will see their drawing in a few weeks from now. So stay tuned for that in the UEFA Champions League. But with, you know, the group stage finishing, this has been a very historic group stage, as so many records were broken in this year's edition of the UEFA Champions League group stage. So with that, I bring on the segment Facts of the Group Stage. The first fact I have for you is over the course of the Champions League, there have been only 10 teams in the history that have won all their group stage games. Three of them did it in this season. That is Ajax, Bayern, and Liverpool. They're the three teams that did it in this season, which is a very incredible feat and just shows how competitive this edition of the UEFA Champions League is. And we move on to player Sebastian Haller, the striker and current top scorer of the UCL. He's the striker for Ajax, and he has managed to score in every single Champions League match in the group stage, which was a record only held by Cristiano Ronaldo. So congrats to Haller. Haller's had a really good journey from being hailed as a flop in the Premier League by West Ham, and now he's just scoring goals for fun over in Ajax, which is just incredible for him, and it's really good. But moving on to another young player, we got Kylian Mbappe, who has broken Lionel Messi's record for being the youngest player to reach 30 goals scored in the UEFA Champions League. He broke that with like over a year left before Messi did it in his age, which is very incredible, and it just shows that Kylian Mbappe is just destined to be one of the best players in our era, so that's good for him. Moving on from a player that is destined for that, for a player who has been the best in this current era, is Thomas Muller, who became the eighth player to score 50-plus goals in the competition, joining a list of elite players such as Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, and Robert Lewandowski. In my opinion, Thomas Muller has easily been one of the best players in the world for the last decade, and he doesn't get nearly enough recognition for that. So it's nice to see that he gets in the spotlight for once. With that, I'll conclude our segment of Facts of the Group Stage. And before I go on to our recent the matches that are coming up this weekend, I want to talk about FC Barcelona, as they were knocked out of the UEFA Champions League in the group stage for the first time in 21 years, as they lost 3-0 to Bayern Munich yesterday. And I want to give my opinions about that match. So overall, the match was just Barcelona getting outmatched by, you know, this Bayern Munich team that is surely going to be talked about for a very long time, as they essentially have a dynasty with this squad in their possession. They just have so many good players. The bench could win the UEFA Champions League if they wanted to, which is quite remarkable for Bayern Munich, and they are definitely the heavy favorites in this competition this season. But looking into that, we have to talk about Barcelona, as in my opinion, they had really like a really good game tactical wise, but the players were just outclassed by this Bayern Munich team. And it just shows miles to how much of a rebuild Barcelona have to go through. They have not been knocked out of the group stage in 21 years, and it just happened. So, I mean, surely they want to, you know, sign all these players and stuff, but they don't have a lot of money currently, as they are $1 billion in debt. So it is going to be kind of hard for them to build from that, but we will see what they can do. It was reported that at halftime, Xavi, the new manager of Barcelona, they yelled at his players saying that they don't know a thing about playing for Barcelona, which is very harsh. But in reality, it's probably very true, as that team, they just gave up at times and they didn't get any better by the second half. They gave up essentially. They just never had any good passes or anything. And it just shows miles of how this Barcelona team has fell down. And this is the climax of what happens to a team that does so many bad decisions in the transfer market that they just collapse like this. And it's hard to see for Barcelona fans. I'm a Barcelona fan. It's hard to see, but they deserve it in the end of the day for all these horrible transfer decisions. And Bayern Munich is just the complete, like, they're the mirror. Like, Barcelona's looking in the mirror. Bayern Munich's on the other side, because Bayern Munich is a team that is a top team. They've been a top team for a while, but they do good transfers, and they get rewarded for that. Barcelona were a top team, and now they're a very bad team now, and they don't do any good transfer decisions. So it's kind of remarkable to see that and how quick a big team could fall apart. But with that, that's all I have to say about Barcelona, and they should focus on trying to win the Europa League or try to get a top four spot in La Liga, as that's their only chance of qualifying for the UCL again. But moving on with that, before I conclude the corner flag, I want you guys to stay tuned for some of these great matches this weekend, as we got Atletico Madrid taking on their arch rivals Real Madrid, the Madrid Derby, very good match typically. And Atletico look to take off points around Madrid, who are running away with La Liga currently. If they can do that, they have a chance of catching up with them. Then we go over the Liverpool versus Aston Villa, as Steven Gerrard, the new manager of Aston Villa, goes back to his home Liverpool, where he became a legend, to take on the team as coach. So that'll be very interesting to see. And now we got PSG versus Monaco, which is going to be a very interesting game between two French giants, where we got Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe taking on each other. So we will see how that goes. Kylian Mbappe, not taking on each other, my bad. Will we see some Messi magic, and will we see Mbappe score against his former team, Monaco? So with that, this will conclude the corner flag. We're going to watch some soccer, and back to you, Jackson.
And thanks again, Christian, for joining the Sports Spotlight for the corner flag. That happens at the end of every show on Tuesday and Thursday. Remember, next week will be our final editions of the first semester of the school year, as a Tuesday and Thursday show will happen, and after that, we're going on Christmas break here. So make sure to stay tuned to the final two editions of the Sports Spotlight for the first semester of this school year. But that's going to wrap it up. Thank you to everyone listening to the Sports Spotlight, either if you're listening live on air here on Indy's Giant 90.9 or on podcasts. I mean, it's the best way to listen. So thanks for tuning in here. Well, we got some good music coming your way, and we'll be back next Tuesday, so make sure to stay tuned to that. And like that, for Kevin Gleva, Owen Pulley, and Christian Hernandez, I've been Jackson White. Thank you to listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Award-winning student radio. Get the mic. Giant 90.9.